And welcome to Endgame Chat for Saturday, September 15th, 2018, Season 12, Episode 33. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out In-Game Chat for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook at In-Game Chat. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We're streaming right now through Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv and look for us, In-Game Chat. There, you can just go to InGameChat.net, and there's links right there where you can join in and watch us. So, and you can use the chat room there live while we broadcast if you'd like to as well. So, welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome back.
I know. Thank you. We're kind of really behind. Missed a week there because I got sick. I'm still kind of under the weather as far as how way I sound. I'm feeling okay mostly. Mornings are tough.
Especially then, early mornings.
Yeah, waking up in the morning's really tough. Going to sleep's not a problem. I got plenty of medicine to help me with that. But getting up's a little rough. But
yeah.
It's much better than what it was last week. Last week was just, it hit me at about 8 o'clock Friday morning is when I started feeling it. I was already at work, so I couldn't do anything to kind of take care of it. And yeah, when I woke up Saturday, I was actually already prepared for the show and everything. But when I woke up Saturday, I said, oh, God, I do not want to get up and go in. I don't. I want to stay here and sleep. So
well,
I took care of
it. I
couldn't
have made it Saturday anyways.
I thought you could though. You sent a thing saying, "Hey, it looks like I'm going to get
was
off
up
early."
In the air.
Yeah, well, I bet it was. Air show.
Yeah, we had an air show.
Yeah.
But after, like you said, it was, you know, you're sick. I decided to stay a little bit later and help out.
Oh, forgot to do this thing that I forget to do sometimes.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It has.
Yeah.
AC Wraith mentioned Game Hounds. God, if I'm correct, and I might be completely wrong, and she may not even be with them anymore. AC Wraith, if you're listening, is Edie still with Game Hounds? And I don't even know if that's the same one. But there's a girl that I met with, oh God, many E3s ago.
Mm-hmm.
When me and Chris, I met her through Chris. Yes, Edie Sellers, that's her. Yeah. We seem to always meet up at every PAX, and this PAX was no different. I ran into her. I happened to get done with an appointment and was wandering the show floor, and I saw her over there. And she and I are friends on Facebook and everything, but we never talked about, you know, seeing each other while we were in town for Seattle. I didn't even know she was there, but she was buying something from a booth, and I ran into her, and she got me, she said, hey, before you leave, you need to check out a couple of games. And she turned me on to a few games that I needed to go look at, which I did and thoroughly enjoyed. So, I've known her since I was going to E3 at some point when I first met Chris. Chris does, you'll giggle because, you know, I'm 10 years old, but he calls it the Sausage Factory. And it's basically when he goes in depth with a creator of a game and talks about how the game was developed and made and came about. Just how the sausage was made, basically.
Yeah, we get it.
And so, yeah. So that's really, really cool. Didn't know you listened to them. That's wonderful. Yes, I met Edie at, or saw her again, I guess, at PAX this past time. So, yeah, there is a lot to talk about. I want to go over, problem is 2 weeks have taken place. There was the week I was... It was the week we didn't do a show when I was at PAX, so I have all the PAX stuff to talk about. Then there was the week after that, which encompassed like Destiny 2's expansion and Spider-Man, and I didn't get to talk about that at all. And then there's this week with all the news that came out from Nintendo and their online service going live and all the games that are coming to the Nintendo Switch, plus a bunch of other things as well. And so I kind of have to rewind. I kind of want to go back and act like we didn't miss a week. We may be playing catch up this week and next week. We've got time to do that, though, before like it really gets hefty with game releases here.
It's started already with that.
I know it has. I know. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to a thing that not necessarily I wish we had a show for. I don't ever want to have a show about the situation that happened in Jacksonville at the Madden sports tournament.
Yeah.
And the shooting that took place there. It was something I wanted to discuss. And it's not that I don't think it needs to be discussed now. It does seem that the attention has moved on.
And that's a shame.
It is a shame.
We have such small, I mean, our attention span when it comes to just things is just so.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So small and getting smaller that, you know.
No matter what the situation.
Unless you're directly involved or lost someone, most people already, it's already gone out of their brains.
The Tuesday before, let's see, did I leave Tuesday? Yeah. The Tuesday before I left, I was up here, or was it Monday? I was up here on Dan's show because he was about to talk about it, and I said, "I'll give you the last 30 minutes of your show on downstairs, but I'll come up and talk about it." And he was asking me things, and we talked a little bit about it. he was just trying to understand the whole atmosphere of what that is, and I said, "Well, in those kind of games, you get a lot of trash talking, and those in fighting games, lots of trash talking." You don't necessarily get it as much. And you're getting it also in person because you're at a tournament, whereas if you get it online, it's hidden by an anonymity. It's not so much a factor in there.
I mean, people still get swatted online.
They get swatted online. That feels like group mentality type situation, whereas streamer mentality. I think that's a completely different situation. Mm-hmm. I think there's a completely different maybe even headspace. So I'm not exactly sure. It would take longer than 2 hours that we do. We'd have to avoid everything to just really bite into this whole situation if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. But you know, I said I don't know. The organizer of PAX, which is I think is a company called Reed Pop.
They're the ones that also do Star Wars Celebration.
They do a lot.
Yes.
I think they do the New York Comic Con.
Oh, God. Mary Franklin, I think, is the lady that is the CEO of it. Yeah, I met her at Celebration Anaheim.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, so he was asking me, you know, had anything changed or had I changed the way that I would approach going to PAX and stuff, and I said, no, there's nothing really. To change that would mean to never go outside.
Yes.
Because anything could happen in that sort of sense. But I said, you know, I'll look for those things. They had sent out a statement a few days prior to PAX saying that with the recent events, we take everything seriously. We do not disclose our security procedures publicly, that sort of thing, just because you just don't. But when I got there, I saw a lot, and I want to say I took a picture of them. I saw a lot of what looked to be thrown together standee type things. They were yellow with black writing on them saying, if you see something, say something, here's the number. And there was it wasn't like some quick number to call or something like, you know, 954 see something or whatever, something that's really easy to remember. It was a bunch of strung together numbers. For you to call.
Huh.
And I know that's not, like, if it's an emergency, that's not the number you call. You call something else. But it just seems something that's like, at the last minute, let's put this together. And so these standee things were all over the convention hall. If you see something, say something, blah, 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 all this stuff. Never, obviously, never had any problem or anything like that. So And I think TwitchCon is coming up next month, and they've got something in place. You may see something when you go next month. Or not next month, next weekend, next actually, weekend. To Anime Weekend.
And I already know that they've got some things going on with Final Round. They said they had some security measures brought up for that one and other fighting game tournaments as well.
Yeah. One thing my job has taught me is to be super paranoid, apparently. But, you know, what
so I was prep for anything.
Yeah, you know, 16 years in, you know, I'm used to operational security. So I always, like, you know, when I, even, like, everyday life, like, when I go to a restaurant, I always, you know, sit facing the door, you know, so I could see people coming in, coming, leaving, blah, blah, blah. You know, so, like, I have, you know, from my job, I have a heightened sense of awareness, in a way, and situational awareness.
Yeah.
Which I think helps out. I still am, you know, like, sometimes big crowds really freak me out. You know,
good luck Six Flags tomorrow.
I know, I know, but it's all situational. I just get to be super on point. Uh-huh. And so, like, I've been to conventions before where I am that way, where, like, you know, you always have, you look for that spider sense that, you know, kind of tingles.
How do you do that when you're in costume, though? You get limited vision in there, correct?
You do.
Yeah.
You do, but, I mean, I'm always, you know, scanning crowds wherever I go. It's almost second nature.
Yeah.
It is a shame, a total shame that this happened in, you know, in Jacksonville, as where anytime something like this happens. And I know my opinions are a lot different than, you know, this local area seems to have when it comes to, you know, guns and, you know, stuff like that. I tend to lean more.
I don't
want to
get into the topic or the debate.
I tend to lean more left.
Yeah, I understand.
Way more. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, in general, anyone listening, if you're out, just always keep your head on a swivel. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the world we live in, that, you know, it doesn't hurt to be, you know, paying attention to your surroundings.
No, it doesn't.
Well, obviously, this is something that were we doing the show after it had happened, we'd have probably devoted a whole lot more time to, especially given the facts that we had at the time, and now we have a lot more, mm-hmm. and understand exactly what had happened there. So, you know, continuing to, I guess, look and see what changes from here on out for things. I know they canceled the rest of those tournaments, and I don't know what they've done about that, or if they've just canceled the whole thing altogether. I have no idea what's going to go on from there. I don't think much will change in the sense of how people go about putting on events like these.
No.
Nor should they. No. Well, I mean, obviously, they shouldn't stop them altogether is what I'm saying.
They're not going to stop them altogether.
No, they shouldn't stop them altogether. No. I mean, there are problems that we could address.
Yeah, you're going to see some immediate responses. Like, we've already seen the immediate responses in there, and they'll adjust over time. Yeah, you probably see some online only thing for a little bit, and then they'll go local again or something like that.
I wish I had the answer.
Yeah.
Also, that same week, I think we, because a couple of people that I ran into, Anthony, one of the Cocker guys, Rogue Hunter. Yeah. He was, I went to Lulz, which is always a weird thing to say because it sounds like Lulz.
Was it funny?
Was
it funny?
What was what funny?
Lulz.
Lulz?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, it's not Lulz. It's Lowell.
Oh, that's.
It's a restaurant right there on the pier. Or not the pier, but the, whatever that is. The market.
Okay.
Inside the market, there's a restaurant there. And this is a tradition that I've had since I've been going to Seattle since 2008 or ever when I started. I don't remember.
Go to the fish market.
We went down to the fish market, found a place to eat. It was Lowell's. Went upstairs, ate our food. And then that was the only time we ever went, was the first day we were there. So the next first day we went back the year after, hey, let's go back. We went to Lowell's. And so it just became a tradition of sorts. And there I was going upstairs with my food, and there he was coming around the corner. And I was like, oh, hey, man. So he sat, had lunch, and we chatted about that. And he was talking about that whole the plan, the Xbox plan that's coming about, the pay, sign a contract, and you only have to pay so much a month, and you get the console. I know. It's kind of like a phone contract, but it's also not that. Look, when the new consoles come about next, whenever, when the next wave of consoles come about, this is a plan I wouldn't necessarily turn away from.
I don't like that plan with my phone. You know, that's why I don't have that plan with my phone. I never, like, I got away from that whole sign the contract, get the phone through, you know, the phone provider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I got my phone, you know, I have a Nexus.
But you pay a subscription plan on your phone, though. Like, you pay.
I'm paying for the service, but I didn't do, like, you know, the contract
yeah,
for
I know.
The phone.
But you're paying for the service.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the price of the phone is also mixed in with that. Maybe. I don't know. Depending on where you got your phone from. I don't know. Yeah. I'm one of the ones who doesn't do that either with my phone. I pay for it outright, and then I just pay my service plan. That's it. I don't do any of that.
I'm thinking, like, next one, I want to get the Pixel 3.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the idea of contracting out your console, I'm curious, like, if it's, like, you know, if it's a monthly contract, is it also, like, you have to pay the...
It's a two-year plan.
Two-year plan?
Yeah.
Interest?
Yeah, do you have to pay interest on it?
No.
So...
It is... Okay, so they had a new monthly financing program for the Xbox One called the Xbox All Access. It allows users to commit to a two-year plan where they pay a monthly... they pay monthly for either an Xbox One S, which...
That's the lower-end one.
They are. It's like 100... I mean, seriously, Black Friday rolls around, you get one of these for 150.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to... I mean, spreading 150 over 2 years.
Right. I'm just like, just get an Xbox.
Just buy it.
Now, the Xbox One X is a different story.
Well, that's like, what, four?
Yeah, that's, I think, $400 to $500. You can pay for either of those two consoles and subscriptions to both Xbox Live Gold, which is $50 a month, or $50... No, it's... What is Xbox Live? A year.
Was it 60? 60?
60
a year?
I think it's 60 a year.
Yeah.
And Game Pass, which is, I think, $10 a month, mm-hmm. is what Game Pass is.
But when we're talking about this this plan or whatever, I keep, in the back of my mind, I keep thinking there's a catch somewhere. There's got to be a catch somewhere. And
yeah, they got to make their money somehow.
Yeah. So Lethal Migraine just put it in the chat room. He says you got to pay it in 2 years. If you don't pay it in 2 years, you get a 20% plus interest added on.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I haven't read the details on this. Sorry.
Yeah, because see, a financial plan.
I'll be getting to that here.
Yeah,
because otherwise it just sounds like layaway, like a two-year layaway for your console.
Yeah,
and Microsoft's not about to make money off of that.
The Xbox One X bundle costs $35 a month for 2 years. That's not bad for a console. $35 a month. That gets you the console, the Xbox Live service. The Game Pass, which has got a ton of games involved with it, which comes with new games, as we've played with Sea of Thieves. Mm-hmm. And State of Decay 2 was another one, and Crackdown 3 will be another. But $35 a month says it's in line with the roughly $860 a person would normally pay for everything included. The Xbox One S bundle is priced at $22 a month and is about $130 cheaper than buying everything that it includes. The back of the envelope math doesn't take into account future price drops for the hardware or the Xbox Live and Game Pass discounts that regularly pop up, but it still just seems like a really pretty good deal.
How much is just an Xbox X? Right? Was it 400?
I want to say it's 4 and maybe 5.
Okay. So that's.
Let me just hit up Amazon real quick.
Because total, if you do this, you're going to be paying $840 over 2 years. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it said. 860 is roughly in line.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I guess that's also for what, $60 a year. So that's
Okay, an Xbox One X on that's 481. So I'd say it's $500.
Well, all right. So just for 2 years of Xbox Live and a Xbox X, that's $620 right there. Mm-hmm. So what about the other, you know, $200?
Game Pass is $10 a month. Did you count that in there?
It's $10 a month?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
So that's another $100 to add on to it. Well, $120.
Well, for 2 years, that would be... 240. All right, yeah. Yeah, that's
I mean, they did the math. It's in line. It says it's in line with roughly $160 bucks a person would normally pay for everything included. However, I don't want Xbox Game Pass.
No, I don't want Xbox Live.
Oh, I want Xbox Live. That's the only way I can play with people or to, you know.
Yeah, they made a way you gotta have to play with folks online now.
I mean, if I wanted to play online with anybody or just use, I don't know, do you need it to... I remember before you needed it to use like some of the apps and stuff, but maybe
like
not
Netflix?
Anymore. Yeah, but maybe not anymore. I don't know.
I mean, like Netflix comes on boxes of cereal.
Oh, I get it. I understand.
Yeah,
I totally understand that. So.
That's just that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money
over 2 years.
So in the long run, it's just best to get the console outright, isn't it?
I mean, if you could afford the $500, just throwing that out, then.
You know, at any time, you could also pay more on this. You don't have to pay the $35. I mean, you could pay the $35.
Oh, but most people, if you give the option to pay the least amount, people will pay the least amount.
Of course they will, yeah.
Because, you know.
But see, I look at this for me, this is not, I don't know. For me, it's like, this is something I would easily consider, depending on how they do it, for the next generation of consoles.
Yeah.
I could easily consider doing something like this. I don't know if they're going to change it up with their SKUs and stuff like that. We'll see. Because I could even go up to, you know, 40 or 50 a month for even to drop the price of it. If
or
for
just
whatever
pay it
reason,
off quicker.
Well, yeah, but if for whatever reason they had a SKU where it's like, okay, this doesn't come with Game Pass, you know,
then,
it's just this and Xbox Live. Or maybe they take out, since I'm already subscribed to Xbox Live, maybe they take all of that out and it's just the console.
Who knows?
You know, and it goes up maybe even further.
I mean, it's an interesting way of doing things.
It is.
You know, it's one more way to get your console out into people's hands.
Yeah.
You know, which, is PlayStation 4 still beating them this generation?
I would imagine so. Yeah. So. I think when you look at total numbers and everything else, I think PlayStation 4 is going to, obviously, is the winner of whatever generation you want to look at. But as far as sales, I would go so far as say as sales, popularity, that sort of thing.
At the same point, you know, we're so late in this generation, you know, cycle.
I don't know what they're doing though. I mean, because
I've heard talks already about PS5.
Well, I know Sony seems to be going in the direction of we're going to make a new console. Here it is. Here's new Xbox. Microsoft seems to be going in a situation where it's like we're just going to continually update what we've got. You know, it'll always be called Xbox One, but here's the Xbox One Two. I don't know. I don't know what they've got in store for that, but from going with the Xbox One, the Xbox One S, now the X, which is an improvement over both of those, in a lot of different ways, slimmer, beefier type situation. I don't know if they're just going to keep like, hey,
here's the newer,
here's the newer, the new iteration of
new
it,
new variation of
yeah,
this
right.
phone.
Yeah, right. Here's the Xbox. Here's the Xbox One X Pro. It's, you know, it's gotten more stuff inside it. It beats the Xbox One. You know, you're looking at something like phone companies, obviously, to put it in that sense, where it is every year to every 2 years, you see some kind of improvement in there. And maybe not a massive improvement until you skip every other, you know, just like I do with my phone, I skip every other year.
You don't have to get the upgrade right.
Thereabouts, I skip every other year. I don't do it all the time, but I wait until it feels like a significant jump for me before I upgrade my phone.
Yeah.
And I probably would especially do that with like a PC. I'm not looking to get one of these graphic cards that just released.
The thing with PCs, though, at a certain point, you upgrade one, you have to upgrade all. You know, you know, at some point, it's going to be like, well, I want this new graphic card, but I need a new motherboard and processor to go with it.
I don't know. I mean, eventually, yes.
Eventually.
That comes into play, but not, I mean, for me, I'm going to
do
it for a while.
Stick with a PlayStation?
No, but computer, PC-wise.
You're building your PC.
Yeah, you're
I'm building mine. After how long?
I know. Eight years. I know.
About due, so yeah.
Yeah. We'll go to the phone real quick before we get a break. Is it Chris? Okay, we'll talk to Chris for a minute. Hey, Chris, you're on the show. Hey, man.
What's going on, y'all?
Oh, not much. Talking about, I don't know, talking about console
stuff.
A
2 week recap, actually.
Yeah. What's going on with you, man?
Yeah. Seems like you're feeling a little bit better, huh?
I'm doing all right. You know, my voice, and I'm nasally and that sort of thing, but I'm otherwise I'm fine, but,
yeah,
I'm on the mend.
feel pretty good, but not sounding so good, huh?
I could go for a nap right now.
I don't blame you.
I could easily take a nap right now.
But yeah, we're on the road on the start of our vacation for 2 weeks now, and I just got the Dragon Quest VIII, which came out on the 4th on Tuesday, and anybody that RJ might like, you know, if he likes old traditional role-playing games like Japanese, you know, like the old Dragon Warriors, the old ones like that, the turn-based ones like that, for people that like those, this is a must-have.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Collectability.
But, yeah. Right? Huh?
Collectability, right?
Oh, yeah, and I got the collector's edition from Square Enix that you could only get through them. But even on top of that, I paid for one-day shipping. Of course, they didn't ship it out on time because Monday was a holiday, and I was supposed to get it Wednesday afternoon. So I took off a couple hours early so I could have a little bit more time to play it and sitting at the house, and I got a notification on my phone that said, unable to deliver because of an emergency or bad weather. And I'm thinking, okay, if it's not an emergency, it's darn not bleeping bad weather. You know, it rained some that day, but, you know, there was no weather whatsoever. So I eventually got in contact with somebody at the home base over there off the bypass in Montgomery to see what was going on. And she said that the driver was afraid that he would get stuck on the dirt road.
Well,
and there was no mud or anything on that road. It was perfectly fine. And I guess he was just a pansy or a greenhorn. I don't know, but... he couldn't deliver it because he thought his one get stuck.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'll tell you. You got your package, though.
Yeah, I got it, but oh well.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your trip, man, and thanks for calling in.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon. Have fun.
All right, take care man. Now.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. I'll turn that off. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go over... I'm going to go over a bunch of games that I saw because I've been getting emails for the past couple of weeks. Well, for the past 2 weeks now, saying, hey, great meeting you at PAX. When's coverage going to go up and when are you going to have this? And I just haven't been able to produce anything. So lots to talk about what I saw in Seattle and lots to talk about of what we've been playing and only like 2 hours to get it all in. So
rush job.
I don't necessarily want to rush it because I really would like to talk about some of these games I saw are great. So I really would like to talk about some of these games. But at the same time, you know, I want to get to what you guys have played. I really haven't played anything. I have touched Destiny for a bit. But outside of the games that I played at PAX, I really haven't played anything else. I've had Spider-Man for a week and I haven't touched it.
Mm-hmm.
I did take the statue out and I put it up, but I haven't actually played the game. I'll probably get to that tonight while this whole video thing is rendering and I can't use my PC to play Destiny. So I will probably play Spider-Man. But so we'll be back. There is no theme for this week as far as the music is concerned.
And when that itself could be a theme.
Right. When I was building this last week, I knew there were two new games out at the time, and I said, well, I need to use music from them. And basically, the theme is, if you take away the Destiny 2 tracks and the Spider-Man tracks, the theme is games that I saw at PAX. I went and found music from those, what I could, and used in here. So anyway, this first one is not. I did see it at PAX, I guess you could say, but it's from Destiny 2's expansion Forsaken. This track is called The Tangled Shore. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In Game Chat. Music here. It's from a trailer that showed gameplay. I couldn't find actual music from the game itself, but this is very representative of the music that you would hear in the game.
This makes me feel like being at the beach.
Yeah, you can hear the footsteps, you know, crunching around.
Right, that was the character walking in the... Yeah. It's kind of side-scrolly...
platformy?
Different variations, but yeah, a little bit platformy, side-scrolly, and vertical. What's the... I don't know. There's a term for it that slipped my mind. It's a game called Gris. It's G-R-I-S. And it was probably one of the most beautiful games that I had seen at PAX. And it was very strange to see it come from Devolver Digital.
Okay.
Yeah. Devolver, more known for these... Like, they did the Gungeon... which I can't remember what it's called, Titan Souls, My Friend Pedro, which is another one that I saw.
Hotline Miami,
yeah, yeah. And Gris is like completely not like that.
See, I mean, not seeing the graphic, I mean, the video for it, that to me that had like a beachy feel, and it also like a watercolor painting.
Very close. The watercolor painting, you're almost exactly dead on.
That's just the feel that the music evoked for me.
Yeah. Hopefully the chat room warrior, whatever, the people in the chat room are looking this up, because I want to show you, because I want to show it off. I want you guys to see it, but, let's see, Gris, PAX West footage, I want to get them on the show, actually.
Devolver Digital?
No, the developer.
Oh, the developer?
Yeah, not Devolver Digital.
I don't know, I wouldn't mind having them on the show.
I wouldn't mind having Devolver Digital on the show either, obviously, but yeah, Gris was fantastic.
Did it remind you of any other title?
Oh, let me think.
As I hear the way you all describe me, I keep thinking of Journey.
Yeah, that'd easily be something in there.
Because I'm thinking some artsy adventure, artsy exploring type of game, yeah. the way y'all would describe it.
It is. I obviously didn't understand the like the concept of what's going on. But you, here's the trailer, and I'm going to try and link this for you into the chat room so you guys can watch it and get a look and get an idea mm-hmm. of what it's about. If this thing will just hurry up and. Move. Yeah, there. There's the trailer. So, yeah. It's based on an artist, and I do not remember that artist's name, what they told me. But it is a side-scroller, and the platforms have a... some of the platforms have a fluidity to them, a lot like the dress that she wears. And just had a, it has a beautiful art style and a beautiful soundtrack, obviously. And mm-hmm. It's really hard for me to describe. And if you watch the trailer, you could probably see why it's very hard for me to describe. Because I was given no context as to story.
Limbo.
They just, you know, they gave me this, it started up, and I started playing. But, very, very beautiful game and very, very different from what I expected from Devolver Digital. So,
and it's coming to Steam.
Yes. I think next year. Oh, no, this year.
This year, yeah.
Switch and PC this year. So I'm gonna get in touch with them more and see if we can't get them on to talk more about it. Somebody to talk more about it.
Namada Studios? Us.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't know what else they've done, but it was really, really, it was good. I really enjoyed it. So that was one of the games I saw, I think, on the second day, maybe the third day. I can't remember. The first day, obviously, I went to Microsoft, and I looked around there, and I only spent about an hour at Microsoft before I left. Didn't really play too much at Microsoft. Then my first day, I had appointments with... Oh, it was also Devolver, but it was with a subdivision of Devolver. The guys who are making Streets of Rage 4 and Windjammers 2,
I'm trying to think of the name. Doe something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I should have brought all my cards so I could have told you all these things.
Yeah, I saw Streets of Rage 4. I mean, I'm glad there's a Streets of Rage 4. Don't get me wrong. It's just the art direction was just a little.
Really? It set you off a little bit?
Yeah, I was like, a little too.
A little too bright, modern?
A little too bright and colorful.
Yeah.
Streets of Rage has always been gritty and rough.
Have you seen any footage of Windjammers 2?
No, I haven't seen Windjammers 2.
Because you probably wouldn't like that either.
Same people that made it, right? They're the ones that made the remake of Wonder Boy in Monsterland, I think.
Yeah.
Now, see, I can see that being like nice and colorful and bright and
it is.
Whimsical, things like that.
It's fluid. Like, the movements are very, like, the animation is very fluid.
Yeah, yeah.
They get a lot of pressure. Yeah. So I played Windjammers 2, I played Streets of Rage 4, and I played another game that they called, which is very Dark Souls-y in a way, but not Dark Souls-y in a sense of everything gets Dark Souls-y.
Well, when I think of Dark Souls, I think of difficulty. Harsh, but fair difficulty.
Exactly.
That's what I think about.
This was you play as two kids who go into a dungeon, and they fight their way through, they die, they come out, they re-equip, they go back in, they fight their way through. Maybe they beat it. If they do, they go into another. They're all, what are they called? Not pre-generated, but I had all these words the day I was doing all this stuff. When they're generated on the spot.
Yeah. Oh.
Procedurally
generated. Procedurally generated. Okay. Thank you. Procedurally generated dungeons, which is where the game builds the space right there on the spot. As soon as you enter, it just randomly builds a dungeon, and you go through it and fight your way through. And I'm trying to remember the name of that one.
Dotemu. That's the name of the group.
Yeah, I kept calling them Dot Emu.
Dot Emu.
Yes.
That might be the right one. I'm just looking at the name.
I don't remember them ever saying it.
Yeah.
But yes, that is them.
Yeah.
And it's also, I think they've also got a company called the Arcade Guys or the Arcade something, who do a lot of that. They're the ones working on, they're specifically the developers working on Streets of Rage 4. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to have this thing load up real quick and it's not doing it, but maybe it'll come up here. Nope, I don't see it. Yeah, I apologize for trying to get all this stuff loaded in ahead of time and whatever else. See, it says the team behind, but it doesn't say what the team is. You're not telling me who the team is.
It's the team.
Right?
It's just the team.
No, give me the name of the team. But it's not for some reason. But anyway. So... Yeah, it was another game that I played a little bit of, and that was my first meeting at PAX, and it's actually off site. I had to go to a hotel. It was at another hotel in a suite where I got to play it there, and then I went to PAX proper and played a lot of indie games. Another one that I played, you know what? I've got my calendar here. Look, I'm gonna have to look at my calendar because it's gonna tell me all the names of these things, and that'll be the easiest thing to do.
Okay.
Let's see. Thursday. Thursday was Tiny Builds press conference. You guys know what happened at Tiny Builds press conference. Because I was.
Do we?
I was sending messages in G chat the entire night. I don't remember some of those messages I sent.
I barely remember last Tuesday, let alone a couple weeks ago.
It was a party with an open bar.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't remember?
Me
sending messages?
I'm sure you did.
That were hard to read because I was misspelling everything when I was.
That's just normal.
I'm trying to think when my phone died.
Yeah,
just before or after you went to PAX.
Well, you missed some good stuff then.
No, I mean I saw your Facebook.
I'm sure I saw it.
I saw your Facebook post.
Yeah.
With that watery Bloody Mary that you had.
Oh, that was the plane ride.
Yeah, the plane ride had the water watered down.
Yeah.
I was told him before that I don't drink. I don't
Bloody
drink
Mary person to begin with.
I don't drink alcohol, but that Bloody Mary looks like Kool-Aid or something. I mean, isn't that, like I was supposed to be like in Bloody Mary supposed to be like the consistency of a V8?
Like a V8?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a lot thicker than that, but it wasn't.
I don't do that.
Really?
Yeah,
not
so
Bloody
Mary.
I said
it would make good marinade if you take the liquor out. I wanted to figure out how that would go.
No, the Delta Airlines Bloody Mary is nasty. Merge Games. I can tell you exactly what I saw at Merge Games by looking up their email here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Sparklight, but I did see, I saw Buildings Have Feelings 2.
It's I like the name.
That's a weird one.
I didn't know there was a first one.
I can't even put a genre to that title. I'm trying
it's
to
a
think.
City sim where you play as a building.
But of course. And I'm guessing it has feelings.
So everything's internal then.
Well, like the buildings, like you
building
select.
The building ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
so.
No, it does. You select a building. Yeah, I know.
It's like Howling's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
Okay.
You select a building you want to play, and that building grows some stick arms and stick legs, and it hops around the area.
Howl's Moving Castle. Yeah.
And so your building picks citizens in the street, and it's like, I'm picking you, you're going to go work over here. I'm picking you. You're going to go work over here.
For some reason, I want this building to go bad and to, like, scoot people up and start eating them.
No. Doesn't do any of that.
Like the tornado mode in SimCity?
Yeah.
The building turns into Godzilla.
But you create, and it starts out, I don't know, in the past, and you keep developing into the future and that sort of thing.
Right.
So do you start out like an Adobe building? And then
I want to say it starts in, like, the industrial period.
Okay.
So there's a lot of pollution and a lot of stuff like that. And so you put your factories in one area and you try not to put your, consumer shops near those because people don't like to go because the air is nasty and whatever. Right. So you kind of keep all that stuff done, but you can't necessarily build certain buildings yet. So you do have to place those factories later. You can become those factories or you can tell those factories to move and they grow whatever and they walk off and they do their thing. But you're playing... It's a city sim where you play as the buildings.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I guess
there's a lot of statistics that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of financial management and things like that that have to go with it as well.
Right.
So there was that one that I played, Origami. I played Origami Shadow Edition. And I don't know if you played any of that, but it is very, I really, really enjoyed that.
Are you saying Origami or Origami?
Origami.
A.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the pirate version.
Yeah.
Origami. Sorry.
Just,
Your charm.
Yeah. I'm going to try and look this up on YouTube so I can post a link into the chat. I need to do this for all of this stuff, honestly, because I want you guys to see these things.
Mm-hmm.
Buildings have feelings too.
So I'm curious about the first Buildings Have Feelings.
Yeah, I understand. I got that joke. It's two as in T-O-O.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Oh, I thought you meant...
I thought it was Buildings Have Feelings, the number two. Like
No. It's Buildings Have Feelings too, you know.
Okay.
I think we'd have heard of a game called Buildings Have Feelings.
We'd already, yeah, trust
I think
me.
So. We'd have known that.
That's a thing I would have already been over.
I wouldn't try to make a joke about that. I thought this was literally the sequel to Buildings Have Feelings.
No. Nope.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Origami Shadow Edition.
What is Origami? What genre does that fit into?
That you Stealth.
Stealth? Okay.
Very, very Tenchu.
Okay.
Tenchu-ish, I guess I could say.
Tenchu-ish?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a trailer in the chat room now for Buildings Have Feelings 2, and I'm putting the Origami one in there. Origami I really liked, because when I was talking with dude showing it off, I said, hey, I like that this is a pure stealth type thing. It is stealth in the sense that you're never going to throw me into a combat situation. If you do, I better be really good, because it's one-hit kills, you know? It is a one-hit kill. It's one-hit kill for them, and it's one-hit kill for you.
Yeah.
So make sure...
Like classic arcade titles.
Yeah. Like, if it's one-on-one, you're good. But most of the time, if you do get spotted and have to fight a guy, you're going to alert other people.
Yeah.
Which is a thing you want to try to avoid. Like, when you're in the shadows, when you're in the dark, you can... the UI, I guess, is your character, and his cape fills up with shadow power, I guess. I don't know what he calls it. But and this grants you powers like a teleportation power, but you can only teleport from a shadow space to another shadow space.
Right.
You can't, and if you're in the light, you lose that power.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. There was a Marvel character like that. I'm trying to think of the name.
Moon Knight?
No.
I don't think it was Moon Knight. You're right, but
was that Cloak of Cloak and Dagger?
Cloak and Dagger?
Maybe.
I think so.
That may have been that. Yeah, teleport yeah. between shadows.
Yeah.
Between shadows. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm keep thinking the way you're describing this. I keep thinking of the classic Shinobi.
Mm-hmm.
Say, one hit kills back and forth, or Shadow Dancer.
Like I said, it had styles of that. It felt more Tenshu-esque
mm-hmm.
because I could teleport to the rooftops mm-hmm. and I could jump down and do a silent kill. Mm-hmm.
It's a 2D or 3D?
It's 3D.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a trailer. Yeah. Like I said, there's a trailer in the chat room.
We'll see.
And it's that second trailer.
Okay.
The next game that I saw was a game called Shift Quantum. Which you'll hear some music from that a little bit later on. But Shift Quantum, and again, let me go to YouTube to show off the trailers. Shift Quantum apparently has been out for a while now, but I think it's getting a...
haven't heard of it.
I think it's getting a Switch maybe release, or maybe it's coming out of...
Early Access.
Yeah.
Maybe it's think of time manipulation or something.
It's not necessarily time manipulation. It is a black and white type game,
mm-hmm.
and you shift between the negative and the positive.
Okay,
you know.
All right.
So if your character's black with a white background and the layout is, you know, I don't know, if the ground is sort of black or whatever, you can shift
invert
into like
colors.
Negative,
and you'll invert, and then mm-hmm. you can, and then things change. I'm about to post a trailer in the
or like something like you can't see this unless you're in a certain spectrum. Yeah.
There, okay. The trailer is now in the thing. You can watch that. It's fantastic. It's a great little puzzle game.
Okay,
they allow you to build your own levels. There's a lot of stuff with this, and I believe it's already out. Yeah, it came out May 30th on PlayStation 4. But I'm trying to remember what it reminded me of most, and I couldn't remember some. And Yet It Moves, maybe? That game where you move the background to suit your playstyle type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do a shift, the level, not only does the level rotate, because eventually what you do is you put yourself into the, you're standing on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a shift, he goes into the ground and the level turns upside down.
Okay.
So now it's shifted both, it's inverted the play field, but it's also changed like what you can interact with and what you can't.
Hmm.
So you move something and then shift back, flip it around, and you've overcome whatever obstacle is in your way. So yeah, again, there's a trailer in the chat room so they kind of understand that. Very hard to describe some of these games, and I love games like that where they can be very difficult to explain exactly what's going on.
It's like I could show you better than I can tell you. That's
I really could, and that sucks for radio.
I know, it does.
So, which is why I tell you guys, just go to our chat room. You know, if you've got computer access or anything like that, go over to Twitch, jump in the chat room. You can see these trailers that I'm throwing up there. Or just go to YouTube and search Shift Quantum,
mm-hmm.
Origami, Gris.
Buildings Have Feelings, too.
Buildings Have Feelings, too. Yeah, yeah.
T-O-O, not T-W-O.
No, yeah. what is this one? Show me the notes because I don't know what this was for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Blood Roots. Yeah. Blood Roots was fun. And again, let me go to YouTube. Blood Roots is... So here I am playing a puzzle game called Shift Quantum. Here I am playing Origami, which is like, be stealthy in this. And Buildings Have Feelings, too, which is like, move things around and be your...
city building.
City building and management, all this stuff. Like on the, then there's Blood Roots, which is like all-out war type stuff. It is a hack-slasher... thing that really, you know, here's the reveal trailer, that really, I'm trying to think of what
is this one of those turn your brain off and just have at it type games.
There's some thinking into it, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
It is kill everything on the field and keep going, you know.
That's okay. What's the thinking I'm into, because that's what you said, maybe. Yeah, it's just one of those
how am I gonna kill this guy, just,
yeah.
Well, that's the thing, you have options. Like, you can go hand-to-hand combat if you want to, but it's so much more fun with using... You can use everything in the environment. They said they wanted it to make it feel more like a Jackie Chan film,
uh-huh.
where everything is a weapon. So, like, I can kick a barrel...
Everything's a gun.
Yeah, I can... Yeah, right? I can kick a barrel at an enemy, and it'll roll him over or smash up against him. Or not only will I kick that barrel, I can ride on top of that barrel and run over like three or four enemies while they're going down. There's another one where I threw something into a tree and the tree fell over and caught enemies that were up a level above where I was eventually going to go. So
imaginative destruction.
It is. Yeah. It's
how creative can you be in taking these enemies out?
Yeah, and it's brutal too. And I'm going to put the trailer in here. And this isn't the trailer. This is what I played at PAX West. This was the demo that they had on the show floor. And you can watch somebody else playing it, of course.
So it's like those games with style points, like Bulletstorm or
Devil
May Cry, things
like
that.
It does have style points. You know, so, you know, you'll rank up combos if you can keep the killing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and you can see, it's just fantastic. Loved every bit of this game. Mm-hmm. The animation was nice. The level layout was really well done. I couldn't understand necessarily the story too. So cool. Go watch that trailer. It is in the chat room as well. We've got to take another break. When we come back, I'll keep going over some more PAX stuff. We're going to get all this stuff out of the way so we can get on to other news as well and what you guys have been playing. Another game that I did not see at PAX. However, it was all over PAX. It was at Microsoft's event for their Indie Game Showcase. It was before you entered the main PAX area out in like a concourse. There was this whole setup for this game, and I'd never heard of it before. But apparently, it's been out for a while, as far as I know. It's called Bendy and the Ink Machine.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
No, nothing about it.
I've played the first two episodes.
Is it like a scary game, horror game? What is it?
Kind of.
It looks innocent-ish.
It's got some, you know.
Well, because it takes that whole Cuphead style of like, this looks like an old-time cartoon thing.
It's kind of like a play on the old Disney, like way back in the day, like Disney. Not you know, like black and white era Disney even. It's a fun game. I think it's like episodic, five episodes. And
I'm trying to think of what was similar to, like Emily Wants to Play. There were some elements of that in there. Remember that game?
I didn't play that one.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, real quick to go about Bendy.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
But you're an animator who worked for this guy who created Bendy and like these different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you get summoned back to the animation shop and trying to figure out what happened there. And so this is like, you know, back in like the 30s era of animation, like, you know, the old Betty Boops and the old, you know, Disney, you know, all that kind of stuff, black and white animation. And something's gone wrong. And it was actually really, really good. I need to get the other episodes of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at a video of this. I'm looking at little things they're saying, like the reckoning has come today.
Yes.
Or something like that. You let our souls drip away.
Yeah, there's some mystery to it about what happened. There's, you know, some spookiness to it. There's, it's a good game. It's a nice little, you know, fun play.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play any of it. I didn't look at any of it. But
I think the first episode is free on Steam.
Very much, very possibly it could be. Episodes. But anyway, this was
kind of like how, you know, Life is Strange, first episode's free.
Oh, okay. This is music from that game. I have no context of where this comes into the game. I think it's called Build Our Machine. But,
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the video I was looking at, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Origami.
Sounds very action-y.
Yeah.
Like when...
I like that kind like of driving
get,
beat.
Yeah, it's like when you get busted and now you got to fight for your life.
Yeah.
Situation now.
Exclamations over their heads. Boy. Yeah.
This track is called The Intruder.
Okay.
Apparently there was an edition... The edition that's getting released or has been released is called the Shadow Edition, which combines the game and I think like two DLC packs that had already been released into kind of like a, you know,
bundle?
One whole bundle thing.
Kind of like a game of the year.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I looked over the break. I did look up on Steam, Bending the Ink Machine, 4 episodes out right now. The first episode's free. So if you just want to try a free game, first episode, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, try before you buy.
Yeah. I miss the days of demos.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, that's a miss. It's about soon to be a missing trend nowadays.
Think back to the old Doom when like the first campaign was free and it gets you hooked and then you're like, all right, need to get the other campaigns.
Yeah.
I miss those days.
The other thing that I saw was, and I'm going to screw up the pronunciation of this company's...
Spell it first.
Okay. It's not going to help you. It might, actually. I think they're Swedish. I don't know. YSBRYD.
That's probably what the name of it is.
YSBRYD?
Yes.
That's the name.
Yeah, that is the name of the developers, the publisher, maybe. And I'm looking it up here so I can tell you the game. They did the game. It's called Valhalla, but it's VA11 Hall A. It's the one where you're, you're like a bartender. Cyberpunk bartender action. VA11 Hall dash A. You don't nothing for you.
No, right. But
that's not what I played, by the way. But that's the
spelling
only
spelling your name with numbers. You know.
No, I'm just trying to think of a game where I played as a bartender outside of Tapper. Way Tapper. Back when. That's
that
all.
One?
Yeah.
Valhalla is more of a what's the word? It's more of like one of those novel type games. There's a lot of reading to do in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like an adventure game.
Yeah, something like that. They had another one there that I didn't play that game. I played something called Y2K, a postmodern RPG. Had a nice little look to it, but I don't know.
I miss Y2K.
I wasn't. It didn't sell me.
All right, didn't grab you.
It didn't. Like I played a big chunk of it because I was trying to get it to grab me, but it just never did.
Hey, look, he gave it an honest shot, and if it didn't work, it didn't work, so.
Yeah. It just never grabbed my attention.
That's a shame, I guess.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I played a big chunk of it, and, you know, let me see if I can find Y2K, a postmodern, yeah, there we go, postmodern RPG. There's trailer number 3, but, and I'll share it in the chat room, but this was not something that held my attention. It gathered a lot of onlookers while I was playing it because I was talking to a mermaid who had baby heads for the
for seashells?
Boobs. No, they weren't seashells. They were baby heads. They were crying baby heads. Yeah.
All I can think of now is what, Quatu in Total Recall? Wade.
Anyway, there's the I put the link to the trailer in the chat room.
I can't help but think that someone in the state has just turned on the radio and heard you talk about mermaids and baby heads.
A mermaid with baby heads for the
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's gonna good though.
Yeah, somebody's probably calling like, who did I just call? This is a radio station. Are you sure? Because what you're talking about? Are you sure? Then I got to see My Friend Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about My Friend Pedro?
Yeah. Is that side-scrolling action title?
Yes.
Yeah. The one with the...
the one with a lot of slow motion and a bunch of gunfire.
Yeah, the John Woo physics.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
That was... hang on. I'm sorry. Get your mic
off. I just got... They tried to do a political poll.
They do call here every now and again. As soon as you tell them your radio station, they completely go away.
Oh, no, he didn't. He was just like, oh, well, let me ask you some questions. I'm like, we're in the middle of a show.
I'm in the middle of a
He's book. Like, oh, there's just a few questions. I'm like, goodbye.
No, once you tell them that you've called in a radio station, they will go away. Oh, good. I can actually I can actually link you to footage that I played at PAX West. Not necessarily the footage that I played, or the it's my footage, but this is the demo that was shown off at PAX West.
Mm-hmm.
I played most of what you've seen in the trailer, where there's just a lot of shooting and a lot of slow motion.
A lot of
aerial type flipping back and forth and banking bullets off of frying pans and all this other stuff.
There was a move in there I saw. It was like out of Contra, the 360 spin with the bullets flying out everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like that. No. He does that. Mm-hmm. But the part that was new to me was playing on a motorcycle.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a whole like chase scene thing, but you could do it in slow motion, and you could shoot behind you, you could shoot in front of you, you could slow down, speed up, that sort of thing.
Was it like a wet?
In a sense, but side-scroller.
Side-scrolling.
Yeah, but it was side-scroller. Wet was much more cinematic.
Yeah.
I love Wet. Wet needed a sequel.
I never finished that, but yeah.
That needed a sequel. A lot of quick time stuff with Wet, but yeah, so.
I think I watched you play that. That was you were on the interstate.
Yeah.
And you kept falling off the 18-wheeler.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you could run along the side of the 18-wheeler and do a flip off of it and all this other stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
The mechanics, the gameplay mechanics for Pedro are very simple for the fact that it's like, you know, point this way and shoot, point that way and shoot, and that sort of thing. I played with a mouse and keyboard, and I'm curious as to how it translates with the controller and if it's any better with a controller.
Is it kind of like Robotron, where you could move in any direction and shoot in opposite, you know, like kind of like that?
In a sense, yes. Like your mouse is where your guns are pointing, you know, and obviously the button, the left click, and that fires your weapon. But that moves where you're going to shoot. And then the keyboard moves if you're going left, right, up, down, that sort of thing, jumping. And
having flashbacks of the original Tron, like when you're like moving your arm around.
It took a while to get used to, and this is something that's sort of the only thing that I would give it. I hope, I don't know what part of the level I was playing, but I really hope they have some really good intro levels to get you used to the mechanic of how to play that way
before they just throw you in the deep end
and really get yourself
like
acclimated,
a gradual
to that.
ramping up,
you know, like a gradual tour. And it sort of did that with showing you new moves, but even after that I still never got used to the way that it was working out. So but I still loved every bit of it, just the whole jumping up and down, slow motion shooting, and all this other stuff, and the different ways you could shoot. And apparently you're shooting a bunch of old men. There are a bunch of old men in track suits.
All right.
I'm not kidding. They all have like just little patches of hair around the sides of their heads. They're all bald and old.
Does it take place in Florida?
I don't know where it takes place. But I loved it.
All right.
So look that up. I put the gameplay in the chat room so you can see that. But yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. And that wrapped up my first day. Of PAX.
Oh, geez.
Right? That's my first day.
Yeah.
You guys are going with me to PAX South, right?
Maybe.
So that I don't have to do all of this by myself.
We'll talk offline.
Well, I hope that we... Offline? You mean off air?
Yeah.
Okay.
That too.
I hope we talk offline.
Yes.
It's a good way to talk offline since we're here together and not online. Yeah.
Yes.
What else did I have after that? I had Gris. So I saw Gris. I talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a meeting with Tiny Build, but I did not get to talk to them about anything. Oh, Warner Brothers was my next one. Warner Brothers, I got to play Lego DC Supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, honestly, the more I think about the Lego games, the more I look forward to playing them on the Switch. It's a portable. The graphics on the Switch and the graphics for a Lego game are not going to get better.
It's not. Yeah.
To wherever I'm playing them at. Mm-hmm. It's not going to make a difference.
Look at those rendered Lego.
I know, right?
Yeah. No.
Which
hasn't been much improvement from the 360 days.
Yeah, and it's not exactly. It's nice that sort of that option is off the table. You know, like, well, it looks better on PC. No. It's a Lego game. It looks better wherever you're playing it. It's not going to matter.
Great on the GameCube.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just not going to matter. So, the fact that that's going to be out on the Switch, I like the idea that it can be portable. I can just sit there and play it wherever I go. And Lego games are endless for the most part, you know.
In the number that they make and how long you can play them.
And how long you can play them, exactly. And this, of course, is based on the DC supervillains, and it fits right in. So
hopefully not the movie universe.
No. It's all comic universe. But I imagine they probably have, you know, costumes or different characters. Because, you know, the Lego games, they'll throw in a number of characters.
Yeah.
So... So I played that, and I also played Hitman 2.
Now you got my attention.
I have your attention, only for the fact that, I mean, I played Hitman 2, but it didn't feel much different than playing the last Hitman.
Hitman was amazing.
Yeah, so it just didn't feel much different. I did horrible at it, by the way.
Oh, man, I can't wait to play that. That's November 9th is, I believe, when I'll be able to play it.
I played the...
Because I think it comes out on the 13th, and I could play it a few days early.
I played that Monaco, that Monaco GP level thing.
Okay. The race.
Yeah, the race. Mm-hmm. The level that's been shown off everywhere.
Assuming that's the first level. Did we talk about last time? I mean, like I said, I barely remember things. I'm terrible.
Well, you haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, I haven't been here in a while. But no, one of the things I really like with the new one is they're doing like... The Hitman 1 levels in Hitman 2. They're making like this whole Hitman world is what they're making. So now, since I already have the Hitman 1, I get the levels for free. So that means all the new game mechanics, all the new game weapons, the briefcase, all these kind of new things that are going to be in Hitman 2, I'll be able to play back through the first Hitman as those. So I could do Sapienza, I could do Paris, I could do, Morocco, you know, like all these things, you know, Hokkaido, you know, and I'm super excited, you know, even though I've played them already a lot, just I had so much fun with that game. I really can't stress how much, like, out of the past couple of years, that was one of my favorite, just sit down and Hitman, just do some stuff, you know, and so I'm looking forward to be able to, have my little sniper briefcase that I could, you know, pick something, because, like, you know, if you're in some of these levels, you know, it's hard to sneak around a big weapon unless you like disguise as a character who can have, you know, a rifle. So I could still do my suit, you know, Hitman suit instead of disguising. So, I mean, any chance to play Hitman, I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So I am really looking forward to Hitman 2.
Was that all I had on? No, I had. Oh, yeah. Was that? Okay, so. Yeah, then my last meeting was for an indie game called The Gardens Between.
Okay.
this comes out on Switch either later this month or it just came out on Switch this past week, maybe. Let me look up a trailer for you guys. The Gardens Between, I think, is already out on PC, maybe.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's... The odd thing is you play as Time... And Time is not a person or anything like that. You just play as... You play as Time. There are these two boys, two brothers, and they get... I'm not sure exactly what the situation is, but they get transported to a different kind of world or something like that. It's very imaginative with the way that the level is set up. But everything seems to be in kind of a spiral, where they go up the side of a mountain type thing in a spiral notion and get to the top. But you play as Time. So if you rotate the screen right, you know, if you press right, you're going to advance time and the boys move and that sort of thing and things move in front of them. If you press it to the, if you go to the left, time rewinds and they move that way. So there are certain things in the level that are affected by time and aren't.
Sounds a little Brady.
A little bit, yes. Yeah, I was Brady.
Yes. No, like Braid.
I know, like Braid. Yes.
That was a fun Yeah, okay.
So when you move forward, you move things ahead, and basically the gist is they have to get this ball of light to the top of every mountain that they go on, and that unlocks the next level.
Okay.
But getting the ball of light, first off, the ball of light has to get generated, and it will activate things like a bridge or the advancement to the next level and probably a number of other things. But you have to get the ball of light generated. That's generated from just things opening up and whatever. So hopefully you can adjust time to make it so that the ball of light generates. He captures it in the lantern, moves forward. Sometimes there are other obstacles that get in your way that will cause the ball of light to go out, and you've got to manipulate time again to figure out how to avoid that obstacle or how to come upon that obstacle before it's formed in the progression of time. So it's a very kind of, it's a relaxing puzzler type situation. There's no enemies, there's no fighting, there's nothing. It's just figuring out what to do during their journey from the bottom to the top with the advancement of time and the rewinding of time. So
interesting.
Yeah. Very relaxed type gameplay. Really relaxed. The rest of Saturday was spent getting Destiny developers to sign my Forsaken poster.
Did they?
Yeah. They would bring in four sets of developers on the Forsaken expansion every hour, starting from 2 to 3 to 4, and I think maybe to 5. Maybe it started at 1. I can't remember. Luckily, the line to get things signed was not very long, and Destiny's booth was not very big. But I had a poster for Forsaken. It's basically the Gambit Snake thing poster. Yeah. I have a picture. And so I would hit that thing every hour and get them to sign it and that sort of stuff. So that was nice to have and to get out there. I'll post that in the chat room as well when we get to it. God, it's already 5:30 and we're still not done. I've still got Sunday and Monday to talk about. Sunday won't be much to really go over, and then Monday won't be much either. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more about my trip to PAX. Like I said, we're kind of playing catch up here. So, but we'll be back with more of in-game chat in just a moment. Going back to Destiny's Forsaken launch, here is just a track from the new Forsaken called the Gambit, which is the new multiplayer mode that they've got. Have you played any of that yet?
Nope.
Okay. Multiplayer mode, I should have known. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Shift Quantum, the main menu music there. Love the puzzle aspect of that game and how you could switch things around and invert. I don't know if either of you watched the trailer for it, but... All right, so now we're into Sunday. And my first appointment's in the afternoon, and It's where I saw a game called Bee Simulator.
Bee?
I'm assuming it's very literal.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
You play as a bee.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. You play as a
bee. Is that like Mr. Mosquito?
I don't know.
Back in the PlayStation 2 days?
I remember
don't
that
Don't remember that.
I remember that
you
game.
Play as a mosquito.
Yeah. It was import, wasn't it? Japanese import?
They released it here in the United States.
Okay.
But it was a very Japanese-y game.
Yeah.
Bee Simulator was fun, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to know, because first you start off like in the woods or in like a swampy area or something like that. And then you go into the hive and like there's this whole, I mean, it's this giant thing because you're a bug. You're a tiny bee and everything is huge. Mm-hmm. There were races that you had to do, ways you collect pollen and stuff for the...
Anything involving the queen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not too much. I didn't get too far into that. Like, once the introductory level was done and you took pollen back to the hive, that's where you met the queen, and the queen, like, introduces you to, like, say, okay, now go out to the bigger world or something like that. And so then you go out into, like, Central Park.
Okay.
You know, there's people out there and that sort of thing. So you're flying through and not really dodging people or anything like that. There was never any kind of threat yet. I know that it comes in the form of...
windshields?
No, it comes in the form of wasps.
Bees and wasps don't
They don't
get
mix.
Along. We don't get
yeah,
along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was thinking like dogs that try and eat them.
One of the most interesting things you'll ever see is how bees handle a wasp that invade their
hive.
They swarm.
They cook them, basically.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The body heat.
The body heat. They cook the wasp. They swarm around it and cook it.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. But I really enjoyed Bee Simulator. It was I liked it a lot, and I don't think it's going to be due out this year. I think it's coming out next year. But he's another one that I wanted to get on the show because he did a lot of research with beekeepers and that sort of thing. To really get an idea of how to build this game.
All right.
I know, it's very strange that I would be
excited about
a bee simulator, but this is not like Goat Simulator. There wasn't anything that was just, it wasn't stupid. You know what I'm saying?
That game is so much fun.
I know, but it's like a really silly,
really
stupid way.
Really silly, stupid, yes.
This was not. This was very much, you're a bee, go out, get pollen for the hive, do all these other things.
Go do bee things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks gorgeous. It really looked gorgeous.
As long as you're not voiced by Seinfeld.
It was not. There was no voice. So while I was waiting for that, after I got done with that, I went to my next appointment. It was supposed to be a game called Crossroads Inn. Unfortunately, they did not bring a build of Crossroads Inn for me to play because they had just gotten done at Gamescom. And they did not have a build for me to play. So they put me on a game called We the Revolution. Now, this one you play as a tribunal? Yeah. Wasn't that during the Revolution? French Revolution?
Sure. You're
playing during the French Revolution.
Okay.
And you're a judge in a tribunal.
Okay.
And you're hearing cases from other people, and it was very political. It was very much a, you decide the fate of the people who are pleading their cases.
And the only answer is off of their head.
Exactly. You could send people to the guillotine if you wanted to. But you had to, you had to comply with what the people, you had to, oh man.
So this is during the Reign of Terror.
Well, there were a couple of different things. You had to comply not only with the rest of the government, but also... You had to sort of comply or at least not necessarily go with the way that the people wanted, because there were people also in the, I guess, in the courtroom. I don't know what it was called there, but there were people there, the public. And if the public got too restless or something like that, then you would actually lose favor with them, which would cause problems with the public and everything else. And there was a lot of management going on while you were weighing a decision of right or wrong.
It sounds like what you're trying to do is satisfy as many people as you can with every decision. Which,
You did, but also try and stay within the realm of, like, was that actually breaking the law, or did this actually happen? Like, if you knew dude was guilty, send him to the guillotine. But if you did that, it's possible you could have caused a riot if the public didn't feel like he was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of things that you had to weigh in. So if you missed a piece of evidence, or you missed any kind of notes in anything like that, and didn't get to those, you could be going with a complete wrong decision. The more stuff you read, when you read more documents, you opened up more lines of questioning.
Yeah.
And if you could open up more lines of questioning, then you'd get more reactions from the public, and you'd get more information from the accused, and you'd find out more to make the decision.
So, so you're basically investigating in the courtroom, because you're not going out and getting evidence. You're relying on what people are telling you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This is what I was saying. Yeah.
So it's not like L.A. Noir where you're going out.
Yeah. No. No. No.
You have to rely on. And so, how do you know if someone's telling you the truth or not?
But from the people that you are given to interview, you don't necessarily know the exact truth. It doesn't tell you if you're right or wrong that, okay, here's the aftermath of that. Old boy did it, and you were wrong in what you you judged. You never found out necessarily the absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
You only got by with, did the higher government agree with my decision,
mm-hmm.
and did the public agree with my decision? You know, mm-hmm. who agreed, who disagreed, that sort of thing. If the higher ups, if you sent over the letter saying this guy needs to be, his head chopped off, but the higher up said, we don't think that's the case, and basically went over your head and squashed your agreement or squashed your decision,
mm-hmm.
then that was points against you. So it was about satisfying, I guess, two types of people. There's a lot of, like, politics involved,
mm-hmm.
but politics from a time long gone. But it still intrigued me to play. You know, he said, I'm sorry we don't have Crossroads Inn, but would you like to play We the Revolution? I was like, it's a little reedy for me, but I actually really enjoyed it. And I said this in the chat room when I was talking to you guys about it, was that it felt like a Phoenix Wright, but without all the backtracking,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
which I hated in Phoenix Wright. It's one of the reasons I don't play any Phoenix Wright, because you have to backtrack so much. And, but I really enjoyed the one case I had, and I've got a demo. They sent me a demo, and they allow me to stream that demo, and I haven't done that yet, but I will. There's countless streams of that same demo, I think, online, if you wanted to look at those, but I think that's something I'd like to actually do, is stream that and go through it just to kind of show that off. And I want to say it was just recently announced they got Patrick Stewart to the narration for the game.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I really, really enjoyed it, and I'm trying to remember the name of the company that's doing this and doing Crossroads Inn. Crossroads Inn was, you play as like an innkeeper that has a tavern and an inn, and you get all these people coming in to stay at your place or to drink at your place and that sort of thing, and you hear their stories, and you decide if you need to call the authorities on them, or you decide if you want to help them out, or if you want to do all this stuff, or maybe they come in, they do something, leave, somebody else comes in and says, did you see so-and-so? He's wanted for this, or he's, you know, we're looking for him, and you could give that information out, that sort of thing. I was really, really looking forward to playing that, but they did not have that there, so they showed that off. Mm-hmm. Sunday was the day that I ran into Edie from Game Hounds, and she suggested two games. She's like, if you leave PAX with just playing these two games, you'll be great. She said, go see Pray for the Gods, which I went and saw. It's a very Shadow of the Colossus-esque.
Okay.
Yes. It's been on Kickstarter, and I want to say that we've talked about it on the show before when it was announced for Kickstarter. But it's called Pray for the Gods, and you just play as a human battling these massive beasts. All every right. every fight's a boss fight. And it looked pretty good. And the other game was, and I want to say I posted this for you guys, was the Hong Kong Massacre.
Yeah.
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 Top-down, Hotline Miami-esque, mm-hmm, but with mm-hmm. slow motion and...
I just call it Bullet Time.
Bullet Time. Bullet Time, John Woozy type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember based on what I looked at, was it One Hit, One Kill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
So, in slow motion, you could dodge the bullets only for the fact that you could see them coming. So, kind of not necessarily a shmup, but it is in that vein of how you stay alive. Yes, you slow things down and kind of dodge the bullets and stuff like that as you move around. A roll mechanic in the game was an invincible mechanic.
Yeah.
My friend Pedro had the same thing. There's a spin mechanic in My Friend Pedro that makes you invulnerable to hits.
For that contra move.
Yeah, exactly.
Earlier, yeah.
Edie really liked the Hong. She suggested me. She's like, go down there and play it, which was odd. It was on the PlayStation. It was in the PlayStation booth, but it wasn't for Spider-Man, which had a line for people to play, which I thought was ridiculous. I'm like, the game comes out this week. Mm-hmm. You know, why is there a line to play Spider-Man for a game that comes out this week? I understand you want to see it, but it comes out this week. I'd imagine you've already made up your mind if you're going to buy it or not, or if you're going to play it or anything like that. You know, hit some of these other things that aren't out. Like Dreams was on display. Go play that. This one, which was the Hong Kong Massacre, was on display. Mark of the Ninja console edition was on, so whatever it's called, was on display. And there was a couple of others down there that had no weight. You just walk up to them and play. And I loved little games like this that allowed you to do that, where it's just, you know, a hidden gem, but has no wait time whatsoever for you to go play. It's just right there if you want to. That's exactly what the entire indie mega booth is all about at PAX, is just a bunch of hidden gems that you can just walk up, and these people are just itching to show you their game. They want as many eyes to see their game as possible. They don't care if you're media or not. If you're media, they look at you and be like, hey, come here and play this. But even if you're just walking by, they still will say, hey, come here and play this.
Mm-hmm.
They want as many eyes on their product as possible. So that was the day I saw that. Then I had there was a Polish game dev party. That was fun. There's a lot of Polish sausage and pierogies and stuff. It was very, very good. The food was great. Polish vodka, too.
I was about to say, where's the liquor?
No. It was open bar, and there was. What else was there? Did I do anything else? There was one other game. Oh, no, I forgot. There was a game that I played called Soundfall. See if I can pull up a trailer for Soundfall. I'm trying to get
audio
two
based
left. It is.
Really,
it is audio-based.
Game? Okay.
In other words, if you attack on the beat, your attack is much stronger. So if you fire your gun on the rhythm of the beat. Yeah. Same thing, like if you do a dodge it is kind of a dodge mechanic. It's an evade.
Yeah.
If you do something like that and you do it on the beat,
you get a benefit.
Yeah. It's better to do it that way.
Probably invincible on beat, but damage is reduced when you're off beat or something like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw a trailer. There we go. Throw a trailer in there for you guys. That's what Soundfall is.
All right.
Okay. And I said, hey, I know music licensing is a
pain.
Is a horrible thing. Yeah. So I was, my first question is, are we able to import our own tracks? You know, that sort of thing. It's like, we're not ready to talk about that. We're not even there yet. Mm. We're not quite there yet to do that. So
make it impossible and get you one of them 300 beats a minute type games.
Right. Well, like, not necessarily impossible, because if you've got a beat every time, you can just smash the trigger whenever you want to. Mm-hmm. If you miss a beat, that's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hitting the beat every time you fire your gun. You don't have to fire every time a beat happens. But it's just that when you do fire, make sure you fire on the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's much better. Because for every beat you miss while you're firing, you lose like a stamina thing or a shield or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep it in rhythm. I saw that. And then on Monday, my first game was a game called The Blackout Club. This is a multiplayer game. It takes place in a town where all the adults at night, they do this sleepwalking thing, and they don't know why they do it, or they actually don't know that they do it, but they sleepwalk around the town and they're digging tunnels.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. And as kids, you're trying to go out and find evidence of all of this so that you can show the adults that, hey, here's what you're doing, that sort of stuff. Stop doing it. So it's very stealthy. It's very scary because there's an invisible monster that you can only see with your eyes closed. They call it the Shape.
Wait, say that again.
It's an invisible monster that you can only see with your... If you close your eyes, you can see him. But that's the only way you can see him. You'll get a notification. So...
No sound base? Just...
Huh?
You can't detect the sound?
No. So the adults, when they're out at night... The game only takes place at night when you're out trying to find evidence. So the adults are out there and they're kind of like walking zombies. They don't see you, but they have really good hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to be stealthy and not get chased by one of them. Okay. If one of them happens to catch you, you can fight your way out. But if you hit them or anything like that to get away, that's considered, that's what the Shape considers a sin. And he comes after the child that has sinned the most.
You're attacking your parents? Okay.
Yeah.
Attacking the adults?
You're attacking any kind of adult. It's considered a sin. So I have to go through, so I'm going through this neighborhood and I've got to find like three pieces of evidence, and you've got a thing that can show you that, hey, a piece of evidence is over here. You don't necessarily know where it's at, but you know you're in the right vicinity. Mm-hmm. And so you need to look around. So I got into this one house, and I'm crouched the entire time, so I'm putting out the least amount of noise. You can play this co-op mm-hmm. with, I think, three other people, but the demo they had me on was just me by myself, and I hated this. I am wearing headphones, and I'm hearing whispering, and I'm hearing all these noises, and it's very, very scary. Some developers of Bioshock made this game.
Hmm.
Okay. And I need to look for a trailer for you. Blackout Club. There we go, trailer. And so I get into the house, and I'm taking like a couple of pieces of evidence, shots of evidence, and I find a door that lets me go down to... I have to get the key. I have to get a key to something, and I can't remember what the key was for, but I have to get the key. And it's off this guard type person who is not one of the zombies. He's completely aware. He can see, he can hear. And I have to be very stealthy and stay out of the light to snag the key off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at this point, I have all the evidence I need. I just got to get this key. And at this point, he does come at me, and I use a stun gun or something on him. Well, that means that the Shape has been released. Yeah. He is now coming for me. And the developer was like, okay, now you're being stalked. And I said, and so I don't close my eyes the entire time, but I'm still trying to get away. I make it through the entire thing. He was very impressed as a solo player that I got through the entire thing. I was very shaken after I got through the entire thing. I was like, I don't want to play anymore. Not without a group. Yeah. Let me play as a group. I do not wish to play any more of your game. I'm glad that I got through it, and I'm glad you're impressed by that, but that is not ideally how I would play that. I would play with a group. We would go through it together.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't feel so alone and isolated.
Invulnerable.
Well, because nothing really, like, if you play as a group, you still have to find the same amount of pieces of evidence, and you have to do the same thing. It doesn't increase when you have a group. It just means you have...
You can split up the tasks.
You can split up the tasks, and there's more opportunity for somebody else to get caught than you.
I'm looking at the video you just put in there. This is a first person?
Yes.
Okay, so the mechanic of you closing your eyes, just a black screen?
The screen turns red with yellow highlights. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's shown in that trailer. There may be...
I see red screens, but it's just to show the logo. But I'm thinking first person, close your eyes. I'm thinking this solid black. Oh, you can just hear now. You can't see anything, of course. But I'm trying to see how that would work.
Let me throw in... Here's a gameplay.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in some gameplay for you. This was posted on August 17th. So this is probably the build that I played at PAX. So, there you go. Anyway, that is my PAX trip. I am so sorry I spent most of the time talking about the PAX trip. I just needed to get all of that done and out of the way so we could move on because we missed a week. We missed 2 weeks, really.
It was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of stuff you saw through there, man. It was good.
It was. There was a lot, and I still feel like I'm missing out on things. I got me a Power Rangers drop mix card.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
I also got the folks over at Supergiant Games. They had one of the other specialty drop mix cards for Pyre, which is also a collectible type card. They had those. They were just handing out, so I was able to get two of those. So now I'm down. I need a G.I. Joe, and I need Transformers, and I've got my collectible. I've got my special drop mix cards. Hmm. Oh, yeah, if you closed your eyes, you could see footprints on the ground and kind of know where things are.
Okay.
Yeah. You can see that. You can see some of this in the gameplay.
Yeah. I was more interested in seeing, like, if you had to close your eyes, you see nothing. Yeah. Except
the shape. Yeah.
Like, no images, no nothing.
Everything is very askew, and it's hard to tell what's going on. It's better with your eyes open to see where you're going, but if you want to see exactly where the shape is, you can close your eyes.
Yeah, I'm looking at the gameplay. I saw it where the player closed their eyes, and you still see. It's like infrared.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
So, kind of like Daredevil. The image, making noise and see the echolocation type thing. But
I'm going to have to move a bunch of the news stories that I had in here over to next week's stuff and combine it with whatever comes out next week, too, because there's just a lot of stuff we did not get to that I wanted to get to, especially so much news for the Switch came out in that Nintendo Direct recently. So anyway. Huh?
Didn't even say what we played.
No, didn't even get into what we played, and I apologize. You're going to be here next week, though. I know he's not, but you're going to be here next week.
Yeah.
So we'll get into some of that. Anyway.
I got the new Tomb Raider, Shadows of the Tomb Raider, and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll be able to join you in that Spider-Man conversation.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. We do appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week on iTunes and however you get our show for later use. We appreciate that. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to our Twitch channel that you're watching right now. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. We're on a Discord. Our Destiny clan needs clan members to participate. Clan stuff has changed for this new year.
So much has changed there.
I know. Stuff we'll talk about a lot later. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a fantastic week. We will see you next Saturday. This is music, obviously, from Spider-Man. Have a good one.